Almost everywhere you go, you'll see kids and adults glued to their phones, their tablets, or computers. I think technology has become almost completely integrated into our lives and even our children's lives, and maybe hardwired right into their brains. It's helpful for schoolwork and communication, I know, to just scratch the surface of some of those benefits. But along with the benefits, there are also some major consequences, and our guest today is going to be talking about that, some of the dangers of technology overuse. Her new book is called Unplug: Raising Kids in a Technology-Addicted World. Our guest, Melissa Wessendorf, who is a licensed clinical and forensic psychologist in the state of Wisconsin. She and her co-writer, co-author, Lisa Stroman, wrote the book, Unplug: Raising Kids in a Technology-Addicted World. And Melissa, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Really appreciate having you here. And just for our listeners, as you listen in, maybe you have some questions or concerns about your own children, or maybe your grandchildren. Do they seem addicted to technology? Are you concerned about that? What have you done to try and unplug your kids or your grandkids a little bit? Join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And, you know, thanks again for coming by, Melissa, by the way. Appreciate it very much. I have a 12-year-old, and she has an iPhone, and she has an iPad, and she's got her own computer.
Sure.
And I think if I didn't, I think she'd spend hours and hours and hours every night on it if I didn't.
Absolutely. Sort of. Absolutely. There's actually really good research that shows that kids can't self-regulate with regards to these types of devices, because the devices trip the part of our brain that makes us want to keep engaged within or using the devices. And so we do, as parents, we do have to help our kids regulate their use.
And you quote right off the bat, you quote some figures on how many hours youngsters spend on those devices. I looked at that and I thought, oh my goodness, that many hours?
It's amazing, and it continues to grow. I mean, the research is always, you know, at least 2, 3, 4 years old, because it takes time to collect all the data, and it's just going up and up and up. And in fact, looking at older research, we have more hours on our social media or devices, et cetera, than they projected, say, in 2012, what we would be doing in 2015. So it's inundated everything we do.
And how did you come to write the book?
It came from several sources. So one, I'm a parent. I have kids, and so I'm managing all of this myself and figuring out what's the best way to do this. And then with my co-author, she also has kids, and we were just talking about the problems we have ourselves, and then also within our clinical practices. I'm a forensic psychologist, and within the last 5 to 10 years, I've had more and more forensic cases, meaning I write reports for courts, where technology has been involved in some form or fashion with the cases that I'm evaluating. And then clinically, we've seen a number or an increase in the number of cases where technology is hurting either emotionally, or kids are having interpersonal problems. And so they end up having some depression, some anxiety. And so we're seeing it more and more in our clinical practices. And, you know, it's hard to, we just wanted to get the word out. And so we thought this book is a nice reference for parents who really want to help have a healthy lifestyle within the home that balances technology and then also being outdoors and engaging in family activities.
Yeah, and I really like, it's kind of a, in some ways, it's very well written, and it's kind of no nonsense in some ways, but you have some great examples of what, I mean, some of the stories.
Right,
you have
right.
Sidebarred in your book. I think I read them, and oh my goodness me!
I know, and the sad thing is that these are not the exceptions. You know, these aren't the rare cases. These are cases that she and I both have come across in our practices, and so we know it's out there, and we know it's a struggle. We know every parent struggles with it. We struggle with it, and it's, you know, nice to get the community talking about how we can help our kids, because there are serious impact in terms of on the brain. You know, there's research that's showing that it does impact the development of the brain of the children, and then just emotionally and interpersonally.
Yeah. How does it affect the development of the brain?
Well, so what research is showing, so they do a lot of research in China, because mm-hmm. there they consider this problem a public health emergency. A lot of the internet use is done in the, like, internet cafes. It's not within the home. So they see it more. And what it's showing is that individuals who overuse or use at least 3 hours per day, that they, their structures of their brain are different than those who do not use it. And it's affecting areas, like there's more development within the risk-taking section of the brain. So more you're willing to take risks, which is a benefit in, say, video games, correct? You
mm-hmm.
know,
you
do better in a video game if you take risks, correct? But then there's underdevelopment in the areas of the brain responsible for interpersonal development and social, reading social cues and how to interact with other people. So it is affecting the development of the brain structurally for these kids who overuse. And that's only 3 hours or more a day.
And for a lot of kids, it's way more than 3 hours.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about some of the things, places where my daughter goes. There's a game. She doesn't play a lot of games, but there's a geometry game that she plays that I kind of like that one. And she goes, Science Friday has got some great videos, and she's really interested in marine biology. And
interesting.
Tons of them on the Science Friday site. So it's not all bad.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We have to balance. That's the point, is to balance it for our kids and our family.
You have one story in here that just scared the heck out of me, which was about a 14-year-old who was online with a 17-year-old surfer, supposedly.
Yes.
And her friend sort of somehow told on her or whatever, and the boyfriend turned out to be a 40-year-old man.
Right.
Who was been posing as a teenager and showed up at her high school to meet her, and they arrested him, and he had rope, duct tape, a shovel, lie in his trunk.
I know.
I'm looking at it, oh, my goodness.
I know. Those are the stories, you know, that scare you, but you know, we had talked with the law enforcement officer involved with that case. You know, and that's not a singular, rare, exceptional case. I mean, we have to be careful. And, you know, the friend did the right thing, right? She reported it to her mother, and they didn't know what to do, and so they did the right thing. And again, it's about balance and talking with your kids about what is out there and what can happen, and keeping an open dialogue can help with some of this.
You talk about technology overuse in terms of, instead of addiction.
Right. We like to use the word overuse because we struggle wanting to or calling kids addicted to a technology. And I know everybody understands the word, what addiction means. But we have to think about diagnostically. At this time, the DSM, which is what psychologists and therapists rely upon for diagnoses, they're calling upon people to start doing research in the, I think it's internet addiction disorder or something like that. So it's not a disorder right now, but they're calling for more research with it. And we're concerned about calling, you know, a 10-year-old kid addicted to something. So what we want to get out there is we're overusing it. We need to, much like an eating disorder, we have to eat. And so it's about moderating how we're going to look at food and how we eat. And this is, how are we going to use technology? Technology is great. It has helped us in so many ways. I mean, we have Fitbits or, you know, all the different things that can help us be healthy and eat healthy. But then there's this downside that we just need to be careful of.
And I was thinking that this is a very similar story to when television sort of came on board and replaced radio, and then over time we worried about the amount of time television time, and children are still spending a lot of time on television. But now we've also got all these other technologies.
Right, right. And it's true that people did talk about television and they, you know, we're all going to grow up. I grew up in the television era. But the one thing that we do have to look at is that you have passive viewing, which is television, versus interactive viewing.
Yeah.
And the brain is much more active with this interactive viewing that people are doing with video games and cell phones, et cetera. So there are some differences between those two mediums, but we are just tacking on all these devices in addition to the television viewing.
And you know, to be perfectly honest, it's I'm sure easy for many parents to you know, the child is quiet.
Right.
You've got things to do. And the child is not creating a disturbance.
Right, right.
And so it's probably kind of easy to leave the child in front of the whatever screen it is that they're on.
Absolutely. I'm not saying I've never done that. I mean, my kids, you know, and from time to time, it's okay. You know, it's from time to time, it's okay to do that. It's what we're really looking at is what's the regular use of this technology. I can certainly say that when I let my youngest use it too late at night, he is very difficult to get to sleep. You know, so I have to be careful that I don't let that happen too late at night versus maybe television where I don't see the same reaction from him, you know, later or closer to bedtime. So it's just about regulation and what are the rules we're going to have in the family. We have to have rules. We have to establish rules for technology use, much like any other rules that we need in our house.
And so we're going to go into a lot of those sort of rules or strategies that you and I can use as we talk here with Melissa about her book, strategies that we can use to not necessarily wean our children from these, because you're not going to do that, to be perfectly honest, but to make a more intelligent use of those, all of those devices. And she's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. Certainly invite you to join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Technology helps you and I get work done quicker. It's convenient. It's an amazing tool for communication. However, many children today have sort of abused, I guess we could say, the use of technology, and some even exhibit addictive behavior. Larry Mueller here again. Thanks for joining us today as we visit with psychologist Melissa Wessendorf, who, along with her co-author, Lisa Stroman, has published the book Unplug, is the title of it, Raising Kids in a Technology Addicted World, a book written to help you and I go through, you know, work with our children to, in a positive way, have them use technology, but not in ways that can really be detrimental to them and to us. So glad to have her along, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And before we go to the calls, of which we have Margaret and Andrea, we'll get to you in just a minute here, but maybe tell our listeners how your book is organized and what they can find in it.
Sure. So what we did is in the book, we start out with a little bit of the brain research and telling parents just exactly what is happening in the brain with when using technology. But then what we do is what we have seen in our practice is really four major areas where it's problematic for children: physical, behavioral, interpersonal, and emotional difficulties. And so then we break it down and we give you strategies addressing each of those specific areas. So we wrote it in a way that you could reference the area that's the most relevant for you. I mean, oftentimes it's many areas, and there's tips for any of the areas that would be helpful in any family, frankly. But, you know, that way it's organized that way that it's easy to pick up which area you need help in.
Margaret in Appleton has a comment. Hi, Margaret. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Last week, Dr. Richard Davidson came to Appleton and part of his lecture talked about the research on making video games that increase positive structures in the brain. And after 2 weeks with teens on some of these video games, they were able to induce more or produce more positive paying attention and also more positive social interactions. And I was wondering if you were familiar with that and what your comments were about that.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Margaret.
Sure, there can be some positive aspects to technology, and I have seen some of the research with regards to helping positive behaviors in kids. I know there was a study out there that talked about kids who played at least an hour a day had good interpersonal skills or social skills, and it helps if the kids are playing cooperative games. So even if there's a little violence in the game, if they're cooperating with another player towards a similar goal, then that can be helpful. There's also other research that talks about video games or other games delivered via video that can help with certain eye disorders. So there are certainly ways that it can be helpful, absolutely. But again, we're talking about just a balance of technology as we see individuals who are just overusing it, not just using perhaps the positive games. But the only other thing I'd like to add is, so that same research that helps increase positive behaviors, video game designers know it as well, and they know how to create games to trigger the brain so that you want to do it more. You know, so they know what they're doing as well. So I'm glad it's being used in a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrea and Madison, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, my son is currently in an adolescent psychiatric hospital because he has an addiction to video games and was threatening to cut himself on his face so that he could be just like the video game character that he wanted to emulate. I think it's an addiction. And all the psychiatric doctors and his therapist and everybody else is talking about it in addictive terms because it doesn't, you know, it keeps him away from friends. It keeps him away from his schoolwork. You know, it keeps him away from the family. And it is very frightening. It is very frightening to me. And I agree that there are video game makers that make things so that you become more addicted to them. And they're talking that it's going to take months for my son's brain to reset so that things in those video games won't, kind of stimulate his brain. It has made it very difficult for him to get up in the morning, very difficult for him to fall asleep at night. He's a very smart, charming, sweet boy, but if he's been video gaming for any length of time, all that goes out the window, and it's really kind of frightening to see. As much as there are lots of positive video games, which he started out playing, and lots of things that help develop coordination and everything else, boy, it has a real significant downside to it. And
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for those problems. How old is your son?
My son's 15. Oh. And, you know, I was one of those parents who let him sit and play games because the stuff that he was doing was innocent enough, but you know, you graduate to things, and even though it's not like he's playing Black Ops or he's not doing the car chase stuff and everything else, the stuff that he's playing is the anime characters, and he is playing with other people online, you know, and I put a stop to that because I'm like, who really are these people that he's playing games with?
And that is the, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. It sounds like you're doing the right thing and getting your son some help. And it will take a while for that to reset itself. But, you know, the good thing is that the brain has plasticity to it. Yes. And so as the brain, as you work on interpersonal skills and getting him to socialize and re-socialize with his same age mates, you know, the brain is going to improve in those particular areas. So there, you know, there's certainly, you know, there's hope there, and that you can set him back on the right track, and you got him help early. But it is difficult. And so that's, I mean, your example really is why we want to get the word out, because it is, the games start off innocent enough, absolutely. And we didn't, you know, we didn't really know about all this research. I mean, I certainly didn't as a parent until I started looking it up. And so that's part of why we have the book and the website, is to get that word out and to help other parents.
Well, and you know, the other thing is that, you know, as much as Facebook is lovely and everything, they have all these games that are attached to it. Mm-hmm. And the games, you know, you get so many lives, well, you can buy more. Well, my oldest daughter, who has some disabilities, she kept buying lives, and her cell phone bill went from, you know, one amount to like $40 more.
Right.
Because, you know, she's buying $5 and $5 and $5 and $5 worth of, you know, video of these things, and it's connected to her phone bill. It's not like it's connected to a credit card. It's connected to her phone bill, and so because it's connected that way, you know, she can buy more points on it and stuff. And it's, so it's, you know, you really have to, in some ways, have to have a more mature brain to play some of these things.
Yeah, I would agree, because those are, because it's not, it's not real money. It's not, she doesn't see the $5 slipping out of her pocket or out of her hand. And it is really hard. And, you know, kids see us using credit cards. I mean, I don't even know if people write checks anymore, but we hardly pay for cash for anything. We're using credit cards. And so, you know, like, that's an ancillary thing that's happening with regards to the videos and the, everything's going online, is learning the value of money. And those are hard lessons to learn, and they're, unfortunately, as you probably know, expensive lessons to
learn.
Well,
it is, especially since, you know, I manage her money because of her her disabilities and stuff, and I, you know, we got the phone bill, and I was just like, whoa, what happened here? Who are you calling?
Right.
And it, you know, and I thought it was because she was using the internet too much, and it's like, no, it's because she was buying points for video games.
Oh, right.
And so, you know, there's all these things that are connected with them that tend, you know, that you don't realize can be problematic. But I just really, it's scary stuff.
It is very scary stuff. And, you know, hopefully people will start, you know, there is coming more research, and more people are talking about it, and we're trying to talk about it and get it out. And I hope, you know, our hopes is that parents will start realizing, even for themselves, you know, people in my age range, we didn't come of age where, you know, we had these types of cell phones, but that we also look at our own use. I've had a lot of adults I've worked with who are addicted to their cell phone use, and it's taking up and consuming their family time, and there's family difficulties because of this. And so we all have to be aware of it and role model it, and you know, make the best decisions we can with the information that we have.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling, Andrea. Appreciate it very much. And, yeah, I was just thinking about Facebook. It was just the other day, something I needed to go on or wanted to go on. Somebody had made a comment about something that I had. So I went online, and it was going to be like a one-minute check. And I suddenly realized a half hour's gone by.
Right. I know. It's
there's
easy.
A half hour I'm never going to get back.
And did you really learn much in that
half hour? I didn't.
Right. I know I have, and I know I'm really behind the game in this, but I've just learned about Candy Crush, so I've started playing it a little bit. But I really have to monitor my own use. You know, it's like, geez, it's amazing.
Is for kids? Is there an age, specific age, where you begin to see more issues surfacing?
It sort of depends on how much they're using at the time. It's probably a little bit different. You know, you might, with younger kids, you might see some of the emotional difficulties. So, for example, every kid wants to play technology, and they will whine for it. I mean, every kid does that, or at least most kids do that. But what you're looking for is when you take it away, what happens? How did they react? What's their reaction? Is it prolonged? Does it go on for a long period of time? That might be something that tells you that they are beginning to rely upon it. They want to do it too much. You also might see some more physical problems. So what they're seeing is an increased rate of nearsightedness in younger and younger kids. In fact, there's been a huge, like, I don't know, I want to say it's like 70% increase from the 1970s to now.
Wow.
With nearsightedness. Because as young children, they need the horizon to develop their eye muscles. And because all devices are, you know, less than a foot away from our face, it's overusing those muscles in their eye, and then it causes them to become nearsighted. Now, some kids are always going to, you know, because they have genetic loading for nearsightedness,
right.
But it's occurring even earlier than what it would if they had, you know, that's why kids need to be outside. They need to see the horizon. They need to play outside for eye muscle development.
So when they're younger kids should be outside.
Absolutely. They need to be looking beyond 12 inches away from their face.
Aside from the, you know, just noticing how much time your youngster is spending, what are some prevalent signs of overuse?
So what we've seen in our practices is kids will start to have more offline friends. More online friends than offline friends. So their community becomes just the kids that they play video games with. And sometimes kids are playing with their real friends as well, or, you know,
yeah,
the kids they see in school, and that can be okay. But for kids who are getting addicted, those become their only friends. And so that's a problem, because we learn as kids how to interact with other people by face-to-face communication. I can't tell if what I just said to you makes you feel sad if I don't look at you and see that you're sad, and then that gives me feedback about, well, okay, maybe I didn't say that in a nice way. When you're online, or all your friends are online, you don't get those types of visual cues, and a lot of our communication is nonverbal. And so then you need to be concerned with that. We've had kids with weight issues, not simply just overweight because they're not being physical, but they're eating poorly because they won't leave the screen. So they're eating junk food because it's easier to eat chips than, like, say, a roast beef at the, you know, at the computer. The other thing is that we've also had kids that are underweight, because what they rely upon are energy drinks, and they'll just forget to eat. And they will only leave the screen to go to the restroom. And so we've seen both sides. So if you're seeing some weight problems, if you're seeing, I think the caller had several of the symptoms. You know, he pulled away from the family. He no longer wanted to interact with the family. He was becoming absorbed, you know, finding reality within the fantasy world as though that was his reality. Kids are doing that, and so that's a concern, obviously.
And you were talking, there's somewhere I was reading in your book about attitudes, the changes in sort of the attitudes of children. They become more combative, or can be, at least.
Right. Yeah, certainly they can be.
I don't know, just if you try to take the devices away from them, they're much angrier and
right. That's one
emotional outbursts is another area.
Correct. I mean, that's one of the sure signs. Like I said, every child is going to beg for it. So it's not so much that they want to do it that tells you they're addicted. It's how they react when you take it away. If they lose the device. I mean, you can go on the internet and you can search for parents who are videotaping the reaction of their kids when they, you know, cut the Xbox cord or take away their PS4 and they can no longer play. I mean, there's videos of teenagers just going crazy in their room. And, you know, the parents are laughing, or you'll hear laughter, but that's a really serious sign that something is wrong and that these kids need help.
And where do they get help?
So there's, if it's gotten to the point, like for the caller, where kids are hurting themselves or wanting to hurt themselves or extremely depressed, I mean, certainly you need to seek psychological help, a therapist help, somebody to help monitor. But, you know, if you're just having some problems or you're trying to figure out how to get some help, you can certainly read our book, or we have the technologywellnesscenter.com. And on that web, on our website, we have an Ask an Expert section, and you can ask us your personal questions. It doesn't go out to the community. It's a specific question if you want to ask that we can help you. And we have a board of people, including law enforcement, nutrition, medical doctor, that can help, because it affects all these different areas of our lives.
And again, to get to that site, the Technology Wellness Center, I believe we have a link to it on our Facebook page, but otherwise where?
So just online, technologywellnesscenter.com. You can pick it up off of there, and that'll take you into all the different types of resources. We also have, we talk about different resources for monitoring your internet use, NetNanny, Safe Eyes, that sort of thing. So there's lots of different resources on there. But the nice thing is that you can ask an expert a specific question that will really help you and your family.
I was really... I kind of smiled a little bit in a way at one. We were talking about the extinction burst, which is, I used to do a pets program with Dr. Patricia McConnell, and she would talk about that in relation to animal pets. Your dog would, there'd be a point where they would just try and try and try and try to right. do something, and then that was usually, there was some point where they would just try and try and try, and then maybe it was over.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing that parents need to be aware of is maybe you have your good rules and everything's going smoothly when your child is 8, 9, or 10, but then maybe they hit middle school and now they're seeing all these other devices and they want that and they start. So the rules really have to change as the child gets older as well. And so it's a constant monitoring and helping them out and talking with them about these issues the entire time, because kids change, and so the rules change.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about my own daughter. I was in seventh grade, and a lot of her work is now, a lot of her schoolwork is done
right
online. So she's doing a lot of assignments.
I know. My kid, two of my kids, they were just issued Chromebooks with the school. And so, of course, I'm, you know, a little bit freaking out about that, because it's another device to monitor and think about in terms of that's how they're doing their homework. Mm-hmm. So I also have to include that in their time.
So the Technology Wellness Center, probably an adult who might want to know more could go there for help.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, a lot of this is for parents, but we absolutely work with adults. I've worked with a lot of adults, so has my co-author. So we can help, you know, any age range, but the book was to help families.
Yeah. But I saw, I know someone was wondering about resources for adults, and certainly if they go there,
absolutely,
they're going to get some help.
Right, and in the book we actually talk about, I mean, those four areas we talked about just don't affect kids. It's just how it manifests in kids. It also manifests the same way in adults. You know, so the book can be helpful for that as well. Kind of get you to set up like the different areas that you should be paying attention to for yourself. You know, your physical or having emotional difficulties. Are you struggling with your interpersonal relationships?
And we have a link on our Facebook page to the book and to the site as well, the Technology Wellness Center. It's been a real pleasure, Melissa, to have you on and to talk about this. I really appreciate it. Maybe we can have you back and do it again.
That would be wonderful. Thank you for taking time and wanting to get this out there.
Melissa Westendorf, who is a licensed clinical and forensic psychologist, by the way, works at the state of Wisconsin. She and Lisa Stroman are the co-authors of the book, and again, it's called Unplug, Raising Kids in a Technology-Addicted World, with a lot of very practical and good advice on what to do and how to proceed. Great to have her along. Thank you for listening. Just to let you know, tomorrow Dr. Sandy Sawchuk comes by with rules for feeding pets table food, among other things, especially with Thanksgiving coming up. And we'll take a look at your pet's health. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening.